I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, a good Monday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. If you can't play a talking number to call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
As we roll right along, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across the way of the side at the controls. AB with your updates as we're with you Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank all of our affiliates across the country. Sirius 206, XM 206, Sirius XM app 206 as well. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose, at official Taz 1Z, at Mark Malus is with a C. What's going on, Taz? Welcome to the work week, brother.
Yes, the work week is upon us, as some people say, Moose, and we're happy to be here. We're going to have a great week as we get ready to do our special, our big NFL draft special on Thursday.
But by the way, that is Thursday night.
That's right. Thursday night, yeah, correct. For those that don't realize. Some people at work here, but I digress. By the way.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't wanna, let's not get into that. No one in this room, I can tell you that, or behind a glass. We all know. Regardless, I have to say, before we roll on talking sports and having some jocularity and fun, I couldn't help but notice that a lot of the people here on this show, the team, our team,
yeah,
everyone's in a good mood for a Monday, like happy and peppy and bursting with joy. Everyone is very happy.
Everyone's excited.
It's great. Yeah,
because finally the NFL draft is almost upon us Thursday night. Finally, all the talk, all the conversation is almost done, Taz. And we get to actually talk about teams making selections instead of mock after mock after mock, individual workout, pro day, rumors, who wants to go here, who wants to go there, who's going to the barbershop wearing a hoodie. I mean, everything that we've discussed, who's throwing in the rain. I mean, everything that we've discussed through this entire draft process, I think everyone's happy that it is NFL draft week.
Me too. And I just really pray to God, and I hope that LeBron James is not in the NFL draft, because I am tired of talking to him about him, even though he dropped 32 points last night.
Well, and the Cavaliers circled the wagons last night and knock off the Indiana Pacers 104-100, the final, to even up that series in the Eastern Conference at two games apiece. And LeBron was fantastic, but it wasn't just really all about LeBron James last night.
No.
You know, he got some guys to follow him as well, where he had Korver dropping an 18 and Smith having 12 and Clarkson having 12 coming off the bench. He was perfect 5-for-5 in the first half as well, and finished the game 5-of-9. But draining threes as the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to build up. At one point in time, I think they led this game by 15 or 16 points, and then held off the Indiana Pacers and won the game 104-100 late to even up the series at two games apiece. And it was an entertaining game, fun game. And anybody that thought the Cavs and LeBron were going to go quietly into the night,
I thought that. I did.
And listen, I think Indiana could still win this series, because you think about what LeBron needs to go out there and do and the lack of supporting cast around him right now. You could still think Indiana could win this series. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt of the imagination. Look at the balance of scoring with Indiana. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different guys that scored in double figures last night, right? And you have 4 guys that scored in double figures, led by LeBron's 32 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's no doubt about it in terms of a supporting cast outside of LeBron. You'd rather have Indiana Pacers than you would the Cleveland Cavaliers. But the problem for Indiana is the best player in the world was wearing the burgundy and yellow last night for the Cavs.
Yeah, and you're correct on that, sir. And the other problem for Indiana, and I hope Indiana wins. I got to be honest with you. I'm rooting for them. Little engine.
Really?
I do. I hope they win. I want to see. I like Victor Oladipo, even though I don't think he played great last night. He had like 17 points, I believe it was. But here's the other thing: the 12th man. The 12th man now. They're going to go to Cleveland, right? So now It's a little tough of Indiana, wouldn't you think? They go to Cleveland for the next game, right?
Well, they do go to Cleveland,
so that's
right.
That's going to be a little tougher now.
Yeah, it is. But we saw Indiana. Indiana won in Cleveland.
Right.
They played the Pacers. I mean, they played the Cleveland Cavaliers very, very close. They could win a game. I don't know if they could win a game seven. I think the determination of this series is this. If Indiana's going to win this series,
right,
they're going to win game five in Cleveland and then come home and wrap it up in six. I have a hard time envisioning LeBron James at home in a game seven is going to lose to Indiana. That's the way, if you believe in the Pacers, then you believe that they're going to win the next two games.
You seem surprised that I want the Pacers to win. I'm curious.
I am surprised because LeBron is the attraction.
I know.
Doesn't it take
I'm tired
away,
of it.
I know you're tired of it, but doesn't take away a little bit of the heat last night if LeBron's not in the game for the Cavs or the Cavs are not playing? Doesn't it take a little bit of the heat away from the Eastern Conference playoffs if there is no LeBron James? Love him or hate him, you always have a reaction to him, Taz, but he is a draw.
He is a draw. No, he's a massive draw, not just for the NBA, but for sports. No, I agree. I know that. I like the underachiever. I'm like a lot of people. I'll root for the underdog. I will. I'll root for the underdog. And obviously the Pacers are the underdog. I don't know. I think that Pacers, you could see, they were chomping at the bit in that game. They played hard. They just, it's going to sound very trite, but they weren't scoring enough, and that's what they want. That's why they lost the game. They had a lot of opportunities to take a lead in that game early in that first half. They did, and it didn't happen.
Well, for Indiana, Oladipo's got to do better than 5 of 20 from the floor.
That's exactly right.
I mean, he finished with 17 points, which was a respectable margin. He played 41 minutes, but if Indiana is going to win this series, Oladipo's got to be the second best player on the court.
And he wasn't yesterday. He didn't play great last night.
He did not. Missing 15 shots from the field, 3 of 8 from the three-point line. He's got to be a lot better than that. That's the guy that you've got to key on if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, because you could deal with Young and Bogdanovich, and you know Turner had foul trouble, only played in 23 minutes, had 3 fouls at the end of the first half. You can deal with Darren Collison. Oladipo is the engine to that Pacers offensive machine at times. And if you're able to contain him, and he has a bad night, then Indiana obviously is going to go quietly into the night, and Cavaliers are going to march on to the second round. He's got to be a lot better than he was last night, and he wasn't, and that's why this series is evened up at two games apiece.
Yeah, no doubt. I tell you, one of the most exciting plays in this, it was a physical game, but besides that, it got physical a bit with Bron too, but right before the half, I'm sure you saw this, J.R. Smith. See that shot he took?
I did.
That was unbelievable.
At the end of the first quarter.
The first quarter, I should say. Yeah, first quarter. Unbelievable,
first quarter.
Dude.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah. Well,
150-yard Jones. Maybe a little
exactly
less than
right.
that, but I'm exaggerating.
Right. All net, away you go. I mean, it was amazing.
That was a great shot,
man. It was a great shot. There's no doubt. And J.R. is like the little girl with the curl. You know, he's... When he gets going, he's one of the best shooters in the NBA.
Yeah,
unfortunately, little
girl with the curl and a lot of tattoos.
Right. Unfortunately for Smith is he doesn't know when to not to stop shooting.
This
right. He
true.
Always thinks the next shot is going to go down. But you're right. That was one of the great shots at the end of the
You've
first
never
quarter.
Been in a gymnasium with a basketball court with me. I do that. I usually walk right into the basketball court. I just grab the ball and just, boom, I fling it up. Boom, I score and I walk out. That's
so
my gimmick.
So you're like the black hole.
Kind of.
Basically, it goes in, never comes out.
It never comes out.
Never passes it away.
Right. Yes.
Here is LeBron James talking about the what the Cavs learned from Game 3 as they took into the victory last night.
But I've always talked about the best teacher in life is experience, and we was able to experience that in Game 3 and not just falter like we did in Game 3 tonight when they made a run. We still made shots. We still executed, and we're still able to close out a quarter. You know, not as great as we would like to, but we didn't lose the lead. And, you know, they went up one with Booker's free throws in the fourth quarter. But after that, we was just able just to kind of stay at bay, continue to execute, and continue to play.
He really accentuated the word more than once. We should count how many times he said we. Did you notice that?
He did say we a lot.
He did say we a lot. Maybe we can get a counter. We can get a ticker on that, and we should count it.
Well, yeah, you're right.
That's nice to hear.
It is nice to hear because he was asked the question after Game 3 about his teammates.
Yes.
And he took a great dramatic pause, and he said, wait, what are you guys expecting me? Throw my teammates under the bus here?
He did. He got pissed.
And he got ticked off.
And he was right to get mad.
And he was right to get mad because it was a very, very leading question.
Yeah.
Basically playing to the point that LeBron doesn't have enough of a following with him, talented guys with him to be able to get the Cavaliers over the hump. And he didn't do that. And he didn't do it that night and last night after that victory, as you just pointed out, Taz, and rightfully so. It wasn't about
we
got critical of him last week.
Remember, well, he must have heard what we said.
Right, he might have. Yeah. I mean, where he was like, I've been down before. I was down 3-1. I.
We hate that on this show. There's no odds. It's all team.
It's all team. And this was about we last night. Here's the Pacers head coach, Nate McMillan.
We talk about being calm out there and being poised and being clear about what we want to do on both ends of the floor and playing connected basketball. You know, so those are the things we need to do. We need to calm down and execute when we're out on the floor, and we need to be connected. You play that game together, and you play for each other. And I didn't think that we were connected out there tonight.
No, and certainly they were not. And you know, the Pacers took a lead early on that fourth quarter, but as LeBron articulated, Cleveland just out-executed Indiana down the stretch to the four-point victory, 104-100, as the Cavs even up that series at 2 games apiece. The other NBA action on Sunday is he had the quadruple header, right?
Yes, sir.
Started off in Milwaukee. And you got to give Mikey B a little credit, right? We were talking about
really?
This series. Yeah, you got to tip the cap a little bit, right? Celtics led this series 2-0 going into Milwaukee, right? We both thought that Milwaukee would win game 3.
Yes.
And then lose game 4, go back to Boston up 3-1 with the Boston Celtics, right?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So you're saying that I said this also?
Yeah.
I said Milwaukee. Yeah, we both did. You and I?
Yeah, we both did.
Oh.
We were both in agreement.
Because I like the Celtics. I'm a little. Okay.
Yeah, we were both in agreement.
I had Celtics taking the whole thing.
You had the Celtics winning the series, right. Up 3-1 going back to Boston.
But Mikey B was...
Mikey B said, right. Not only will Milwaukee win game 3, they'll also win game 4.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure you said it right.
No, I said it right. How did I say that? Was that confusing?
Sorry, I had somebody in my ear.
No, stop. I know you're like, wait a second, I like the Celtics. Yeah. No, I know. I was telling you we were in agreement.
Usually I have 2. I had 1. Speaking of coffee, I need to wake up a little bit. I'm good. Don't worry. I need a little more caffeine, my friend.
No, it's all good.
Come on.
But how about Milwaukee? Win last night, win yesterday, 104-102, and get the acid test late. I mean, this was a hell of a fourth quarter going down the stretch where you had lead change after lead change after lead change. I want to ask about one specific instance, right? Mm. You have the Boston Celtics at this stage. I think it was under a minute to go. Right,
I think I know where you're going, but go ahead.
Right, under a minute to go. And Boston at that stage, I believe they had a one-point lead, right? A 1-on-3 with for the Boston Celtics with Jaylen Brown, and he decides to take it to the rim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brad Stevens, after the game, defends his player, says, well, I mean, there's 5 possessions after that between the two teams. I want him to be aggressive. So... they have a 1-point lead, 1-on-3. He doesn't convert. The Milwaukee Bucks come down, and then you have the Malcolm Brogdon drains the 3 to give him a 102-100 lead. Did you have an issue at that stage with the Celtics being aggressive 1-on-3?
No, I didn't. I mean, that's kind of their style. They just bring it. But, you know, I have an issue with you got to try and stop the Greek freak. Okay, this kid, dude, this guy's unbelievable. I'm a huge fan of this kid. The way his intensity level, I mean, just that he shut down. That who was it that he? It was late in the game, and he batted away a shot. His hand just snuck right in. Who the heck was it? I'm trying to remember. It had to be late in the game when you were talking. Kind of towards like a minute left, maybe even less than that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the Middleton block on Brown. The Middleton block on the Brown attempted 10-foot driving layup. That was the possession I was talking about. I remember that one. The block by Antetokounmpo?
Yes. Who was it on?
No worries.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It was a great play, and that was a huge defensive play by Milwaukee there, I mean, which kind of led them to the victory at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee out-executed the Celtics down the stretch. I had an issue with Stevens and Boston 1-on-3.
Being aggressive.
Jaylen Brown, at that stage, you're up 1, under a minute to go in regulation. That's where you have to limit the possessions, right? There can't be a case of, well, let's be aggressive. And Stevens made the excuse after the game, and we don't have this cut exactly, but we have the cut on the – and we'll get to Brad right. Stevens here momentarily. But – he did say, well, you never know. It doesn't mean that you won't convert. Sometimes I applaud my players and we preach aggressiveness. I get that, but it's also smart basketball at the end. Here's Stevens' end of the game.
That was something that, you know, he did a great job of cutting, misdirecting. He lost his guy. Brogdon jumped out and switched. Morris read it right. And, you know, Morris got up a really good look. Feel really good about that with 5 seconds left in a game.
Yeah, and that is Marcus Morris as his 14-foot jumper rims out that would have tied the game up at 104 and it would have forced overtime, and that was not to be the case.
Yeah, no doubt. And listen, you know, now what do you do, right? What do you do here? If you're Boston, I mean, look, this Bucks team, they're legit. There's no doubt. But I got to tell you, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, I love these guys. I love the Celtics. Brown had like 34 points. I think you said that. I mean, I'm just saying, there's something about the Celtics. I've loved them from the beginning. They've been, what were they? They were sitting in the East like 1-2. They were sitting 2 the whole while, basically. The Raptors
right.
won,
I
right?
I mean, then the Irving injury, right?
Right, right, correct.
I mean,
right.
changes
yeah,
the perspective,
talk about that.
Right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, so, I mean, they're missing, conceivably speaking, their two best players. I mean, when you look at it, where the Boston Celtics are and where they're going to be a year from now, but they have every opportunity to win that game yesterday, and Milwaukee just out-executed. You mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. It's dropping in 27 points. Here he is talking about chemistry for the Bucks.
The most important thing, we trust one another. You know, sometimes I think that thing is missing, but today, no matter what happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
Yeah, and listen, Milwaukee now evens up that series at 2 games apiece. At 104-102, the final yesterday afternoon out in Milwaukee as they head back up to Boston. We'll get to the other 2 games of the quadruple header. How about Washington tying up their series against the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs avoiding a sweep?
Who?
We'll get into the emotional scene down in San Antonio. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose. We'll get into the emotional scene down in San Antonio as they avoid a sweep to Golden State. And the Washington Wizards avoiding a sweep at the hands of the Toronto Raptors will do that. Well, not avoiding sweep, avoiding being down 3-1 at the hands of the Toronto Raptors. Even up that series at 2 games apiece here momentarily. AB is in the house. First time this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, good morning. LeBron James was LeBron James. 32 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Kyle Korver rode shotgun.
LeBron slowly walks over the timeline into the forecourt down to our left. He'll relay to Korver, left side, catch and shoot 3. Hey! Nailed it. Korver with a couple of triples here in this fourth quarter. It's a 2-possession game. Cavaliers 99, Pacers 95.
Shawn Michael, Cavs Radio, LeBron and Korver combining for a late 10-2 run for a 104-100 win in Indy in a 2-2 series. The Pacers missing 6 of their final 8 shots. The Raptors led by 14 shortly after halftime. Then Washington's Bradley Beal fouled out with 5 minutes left, and Toronto still didn't take a 3-1 lead. The Wizards, a 106-98 victory. John Wall finishing with 27 points and 14 assists. The Bucks beat the Celtics 104-102 in Milwaukee for a 2-2 series as well. And no sweep in San Antonio. The Spurs dropped the Warriors 103-90 with Manu Ginobili scoring 10 of his 16 points in the fourth. Ginobili and Tony Parker breaking their tie with Tony Parker and Tim Duncan for the most playoff wins ever for a duo, now 132. History as well on playoff ice.
Moved ahead of David Pastrnak, a steal by Kessel, walking to the net. It's an open net, and it's Kessel finishing. The Penguins take the lead, 5-4. Oh, just one look. That's all it took.
That's Mike Lang on Penguins Radio, Jake Gensel. Yeah, the call was gibberish, but the...
Nice call.
Jake Gensel, the second player ever to score 4 straight goals in a playoff game, taking Pittsburgh from a 4-3 hole to a 7-4 lead, which became an 8-5 win in Philly, which knocked the Flyers out in 6 games. Nashville is also done with Colorado. A 5-0 win in their game 6 in Denver. Up next are the Jets. The L.A. Dodgers rallying for a 4-3 win over the Nats last night. L.A.'s won 6 of 7. The Reds are 0-3 since firing manager Brian Price, a 9-2 final in St. Louis yesterday afternoon. The Cardinals have won 8 of 9 overall, 11 straight against Cincinnati. The Mets and Braves rained out yesterday afternoon in Atlanta, the 26th postponement of April, the most since baseball started keeping track in 1986.
The rain, put the
mic on.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Come on,
put
okay.
my mic on, damn it. Yeah. You're talking about the rain.
I'm talking about the rain.
Well, it's April. I mean, April showers, right? That's what they say.
Bring May flowers.
This is a little extra April rain. And some snow mixed in. And
snow mix.
Yeah. By the way, Rizzo was right.
Rizzo. R-I-Z-Z-O. Rizzo. Yes. Yeah.
Rizzo who? The NFL is reportedly holding. I got
Dilly
you.
Dilly
Dilly. Dilly Dilly.
Your mom!
You got me, right?
Anthony Rizzo.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Play a fewer games.
Yes.
Yeah. Took me a second.
Yeah. Don't worry, AB. I was about a step behind you.
Okay, good. So.
I mean, if I just played along better. That's all you got.
I mean, if you need to be right with Anthony Rizzo, go ahead.
Yeah, this is kind of, you know.
The NFL's reportedly holding a safety summit next Tuesday and Wednesday. High on the agenda is the
safety.
Yeah.
Like a safety first meeting the NFL's having?
Like how to make the game safer?
Oh,
which
right.
means
I thought
maybe
you meant like
possibly...
the office people. I thought you meant like office people.
No.
Like don't trip each other. Don't run a guy into a
Be
file cabinet.
Of paper cuts, that kind of stuff. No, no. This is about like kickoffs. Head trauma and whatnot. And Andrew Landry got his first PGA Tour victory yesterday at the Valero Texas Open, which I'm sure you guys will break down later in the show.
No, we are. That's to be segment 9.
No, 9:05.
Yes, 9:05. We're all off.
We'll be breaking it down. Correct. Okay. Yes. Post show.
Valero Jones. Yes.
Yes. So we got to two of the four games yesterday in the NBA playoffs. The other two quickly here, Taz. To touch upon, and AB mentioned it. I mean, how good was John Wall, especially down the stretch for the Washington Wizards as Wall drops in 27 points, has the 14 dimes as well, the 6 boards. He was fantastic. Beal with 31 points. The backcourt of Wall and Beal a little bit more efficient than the backcourt of Lowry and DeRozan down the stretch for the Toronto Raptors, and this has really been a home series, right? Toronto winning the first two games up at home to take a 2-0 series lead, and Washington circling the wagons back home and winning yesterday 106-98, an 8-point victory, a game that could have gone either way down the stretch.
Yep, yep.
A tie game going into the fourth quarter, and the Raptors just were not efficient offensively, only dropping in 18 in the fourth as Washington marches on to the 8-point win.
I'll tell you what, I got nervous for the Wizards, man, because towards the very end of the game, Beal fouled out, and he freaked out after he fouled out.
He did.
And I'm like, oh, boy, they really need my man in this game. But it didn't matter. They ended up being able, the Wizards, to close the deal against Toronto. But, yeah, that was something with Beal.
Here is John Wall after the game.
I guess you basically say we just got a lot of fight in us. I mean, a lot of people, we go down 2-0, a lot of people write us off saying we can't win a game. We're going to get swept. When the pressure's on us, we like to step up to the plate. It's not a good position to be in to put yourself in a lot of times, but we've shown that we can step up to the plate when the time is right.
I like when pro athletes, Moose, use analogies, like the trite cliche analogy of step up to the plate, of baseball when this guy is a basketball player. I like that.
Yeah,
crossover, they call that.
Yeah, a little bit of crossover. I do like that. And
it's like when we talk about TV people.
Right.
Right.
Yes. I do like the Washington. I like the fight that this Washington team has, right? They do have a lot of belief, led by Wall and Beal in themselves. Gortat, Porter Jr., one of the Morris twins. Certainly, you look at this Washington team, they're not short on confidence. The one thing they have not been is been particularly healthy, been able to stay healthy, whether it be Beal and Wall, and those are the two guys. It's really about the guards for the Wizards. And they're playing well, and they're playing at elite level. And a Toronto Raptor team, Taz, that's really got all the pressure in the world. You want to talk about pressure.
Mm.
Toronto has been there, done that. They've had disappointing exits. They decided to bring the band back together once again this year after yet another disappointing exit a year ago. And it comes down to a point right now for Dwayne Casey and that Toronto team. Taz, they got to get the job done because we kicked off the show this morning talking about LeBron James and the Cavs, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Say
if
LeBron loses to Indiana. Yeah, right. It would be disappointing. There's no doubt about it. There'd be some like yourself that are sick of LeBron and you want him out of the playoffs and you want some new blood and root for the underdog. And I get that. I understand it. Would be a monumental disappointment? No, it wouldn't be because a lot of people look at this Cavalier team outside of LeBron James and says they're not particularly good. Right, it's not a really good Cavalier team. Toronto's the number one seed in the East, right? They won 59 games in the regular season. They're expected, this is the year, especially with a down Cleveland team, Kyrie Irving for the Boston Celtics hurt, right? A 76er team, as talented as they are, they're wet behind the ears.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Toronto team that is expected
to win.
To win.
Yeah.
And if they don't win, and that could play to Washington's advantage here for Wall and Beal, Taz, because you know this, there are some people that react well to pressure. We've seen the Raptors, historically, this group, not react all that well to pressure.
Yes.
If they don't win this series, do you imagine what the fallout is going to be up in Toronto?
It's got to be horrible. I mean, just about, we're both saying this, just about the bulk of the year, right? Like you were just saying, Toronto sat in first place in the East.
Yeah.
They sat and dominated. And yeah, the expectation level is there, but it is about pressure, right? And it don't matter what sport you play or what you do for a living. There are some people you have pressure. Some people love pressure. Some people do well. You know, the cliche line, right? Diamonds are made under pressure. Well, that means you should embrace pressure. Well, the Raptors have a plethora of pressure on them right now because the series is tied with a Wizards
going
team.
Going back up to Toronto.
Yeah, going back up to Toronto, which is a big advantage for the Raptors.
No doubt.
But, yeah, pressure's on them. I do think, I just throw out predictions because that's how I feel, my gut. And I do feel the Raptors will win the series, though. I do.
Well, I probably would agree with that. I'm not 100% sure that Washington can't beat them. If Beal and Wall play the way that they did yesterday,
well, that's a different story.
If they do that, then I do think Washington can win the series. But Toronto, the problem I have here with Toronto here, Taz, is that I've not seen them react well to pressure when they've been put in that cooker and seeing them perform at a high level. I've seen Lowry struggle. I've seen DeRozan have games like he did yesterday. He scored 35 points. He took 29 shots. I mean, and you give
That's
any
a lot of looks.
You give any NBA player 29 shots in a basketball game, are probably going to score 35 points. And after the game, the Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey said, "This is a tough pill to swallow."
This is tougher because I thought we had it under control. We had, again, some turnovers, and we had the lead. Some unfortunate turnovers, untimely turnovers, and that's why it stings a little bit more. But, again, nobody said it was going to be easy. I said that after game three, and we just got to bounce back. And now, neither team has won on either team's court, and until you do that, it's a series. So we got to go home, take care of home, and come back here and play better.
Gotta remember, Toronto team that led by 11 at the half, got outscored by 11 in the third, and got outscored by 8 in the fourth quarter. So a Toronto team that led 11 by the half, think about this conceptually speaking, they got outscored by 19 points in the second half.
Mm-mm-mm.
And they were up 11 at the half.
And DeRozan played almost 40 minutes, played 38 minutes in this game.
Played a ton of minutes.
So
he did. No excuses.
No.
Toronto now has got to find a way to win, and Dwayne Casey's got to circle the wagons, and they had every opportunity to win that game yesterday. Just down the stretch, Washington, Beal, and Wall, and especially John Wall was just better. And then you get to the other game that transpired yesterday, and it's a fait accompli, Taz, but the San Antonio Spurs avoided being swept at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. They win the game 103-90. They had Edward Messina. He was coaching the team. Obviously, no Greg Popovich after the death of his wife last week, which we touched upon a week ago. And for a Golden State team, I don't know if they took the game light. I mean, Durant drops in 34. Thompson didn't shoot the ball particularly well. 4 of 16 finished, which is 12 points. And he had Aldridge play well. Gay play well. Murray in 26 minutes dropping in 12 points for San Antonio. A Spurs team, I would think, to avoid the embarrassment of getting swept, it doesn't mean anything long term, but I think avoid the embarrassment of getting swept, San Antonio now goes back to Golden State, where I think they'll get it handed to them by the Warriors.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I will tell you this. I mean, I watched this game, and I have to say, the people in San Antonio, not just the players, the fan base, everyone realized it obviously was do or die, and they did not want to get swept. They played hard.
They did the
Spurs, and they played awesome. There was a load of energy in the AT&T Center there in San Antonio. It was amazing. That atmosphere, it translated on television, too. I mean, of course, I have these awesome speakers in my house. They're gigantic, So, I mean, they're like 10 feet tall. So I feel like I'm in the arena, It's
kind of
whole.
Ceilings.
Vaulted
ceilings?
Yeah, of course they're vaulted.
Oh,
they're 15-foot ceilings, my sir.
Tremendous.
So it was crazy. The sound, I could feel like I'm in the arena. But the thing is, the fans were totally fired up throughout the game.
They were.
The Spurs played inspired, sir, and they played with a gun to their head, and they dominated. They played great. Ginobili was awesome. Eldridge, they played great. I love loved it. It was a great game to watch. But you're right. They're going to get smoked when they go to
inspired
California.
Inspired effort, right, because you would not expect Golden State to shoot 7 of 28 from behind the arc at home, 25%. They're going to shoot a lot better than that. They just had an off-shooting day. To play to your point, the crowd was great. It was an emotional performance by San Antonio. They did not want to get swept. You had the old guard. You had Parker. You had Ginobili getting burned. Ginobili tweaked his knee late in the game, did not want to come out of the game.
Tough man.
A tough guy. Yeah. And he's had a really – he's had a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he's a wonderful international player out of Argentina. He's won internationally. He's won in the NBA. He's a guy that is a tough nut to crack. He is he's a great player. He just has been throughout the course of his career. And you saw that toughness yesterday for San Antonio. And here's their head coach stepping in for Popovich, Edor Messina, after the game.
I think we just need to enjoy a little bit this, try to get some rest tomorrow, get on the plane, and it should be a big game. And we're probably emotionally, we're surely a little bit empty right now, I guess.
Well, that man you just heard, Messina, you know, he's not just some you know, as you know, Moose, he's not just some man sitting in, to be the interim head coach for Pop.
Well.
This guy's a legendary figure, legendary coach.
He is, and love the accent.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great accent. I need to work on my Italian accent.
I mean, there's nothing better.
I got my English accent down. Yes. What do you say, mate? Your mom! I got that down.
Yeah, 100%.
I could speak some Italian, but the Italian accent, as an Italiano, I suck at it, but I could say some things in Italian. Some are curses, so I won't do it now.
I would not do that now.
Undroppable Please. Things.
We'll pass on that one.
Yeah, but I do have some I could say, maybe during a break. I'll just
Jackson's
yell.
Jackson's got, I got spring baseball to pay for Jackson coming up.
Oh, you got a little baseball action coming up. Spring baseball.
Spring baseball.
Not playing summer ball? No travel ball for the kid?
No, he's 5.
Oh. I got my kids starting early. I had to play up. I had to play up 3 years.
So when he's 5, he's playing with 8, 9-year-olds traveling.
Raise him tough, son.
Look at you. 855-212-4CBS. 85 Taskmaster, you are. 855-212-4227. Wide open NBA, we react to that. Are you sick of the Cavs and LeBron James? Are you rooting for them to win or lose? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Also, Taz and the Moose on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow. React there as well. And the city of Philadelphia, finally a loser. I mean, think about that. We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'll tell you, I don't know, Moose, what's going on in that control room. Because I was in there. We're back here, Taz and the Moose, by the way. Dude. Both those guys, they're not feeling too good. Mikey B and Pete the Bot. Look at Mikey B. He's in a coat. He's got a snorkel
well,
on and a hat.
Here today.
Yeah, but he said, I'm not feeling well.
Just
he
cold.
He said that to me behind the scenes. And I just walked out and took this alcohol and sprayed it all over my body.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Don't go near those guys. And Pete the Body, Lord knows. He said he had some bad guacamole or something at someplace.
I'll stay away.
That's what he said.
Romaine lettuce.
I don't know what's romaine lettuce. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, as
gangrene
before,
or
I don't go close anyway. So.
Salmonella or something.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more in car insurance. So we're talking about the NBA playoffs and certainly reaction to the Sunday that was, the weekend that was. LeBron and the Cavs are alive and well as they head back to Cleveland, series up 2 games apiece. All the pressure in the world on the Toronto Raptors as their series with Washington is now tied up at 2 games apiece, heading back up north as the Raptors are looking to advance to the second round. The San Antonio Spurs avoid the sweep at the hands of the Golden State Warriors, down 3-1 in that series. But and one of the other storylines, the interesting storylines, and there is now pressure in Portland on Terry Stotts and the Portland Trail Blazers after they lose to New Orleans and the Pelicans. And I'll tell you, Taz. They got swept, and they got embarrassed. And if C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard are not going to dominate a matchup with Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo, the Portland Trail Blazers, who are the 3 seed in the Western Conference, they're not going to win a game, and they did not. And Anthony Davis by far was the best player on the court. See, those two guys have got to downplay the impact of Davis because Davis is just when he is healthy, is an absolute matchup nightmare. His ability to handle at times, down low, finish at the rim, hit outside jumpers as well. He's a matchup nightmare. And now, if you're a Blazer fan, you know, you go through, you have a wonderful regular season, right? You're the 3 seed in the Western Conference, and then you get swept at the hands of the New Orleans Pelicans, and not just get swept, get thoroughly embarrassed in the series, and McCollum and Lillard get thoroughly outplayed, and that's why there's reports in Portland right now that maybe their head coach is going to be on the outside looking in.
Could be, and real quick, speaking of the Pelicans, Rondo, man, I mean, not so much yesterday, but he has been clutch in this series.
Pain
this
in guy, the rear end, he but really he's a great big-game player.
Yeah, no, he is. He's a big-game guy. We were talking about pressure before in the last segment. My man here, Rondo Jones, loves the pressure. Yes.
He does. He loves the pressure. He plays well. He understands. If you get him in the right mindset. Now, Doc Rivers, when he was up in Boston, will tell you he was impossible to deal with at times. Some of those veterans, Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, will say, no, he's a bird of a different feather, right? He's got not a great outside shooter. He's a physical freak because he's only not that tall. When you look at Rajon Rondo, he's 6'2", but he's basically got the wingspan of a guy that's 6'10".
Yeah, and his motor, too.
Right, he's got ginormous hands. He's a little bit of a physical.
Right, he's not that tall, long arms. That's kind of me. I'm not that tall. Very long arms for a man that's not that tall.
Right.
Gigantic
everything
hands,
comes
too.
Back to you.
It does. Well, I'm just trying to point it out. There's no video here. I'm
I got
let people
you.
Know.
There's no video, right. So
it's not about me, but
Taz
I'm trying to explain
right now standing up in the studio and outstretching his arms, comparing himself to an NBA player.
Kind of, yeah. I just touched.
A little bit, right?
That's a visual for you.
As the guy in Beijing rolls his eyes. Anyway.
He's still in that restaurant in Beijing.
He's still in that restaurant.
When is he leaving?
He's never leaving. The dim sum is fantastic. He's never leaving. Anyway.
The dim sum. That was funny. The dim
Rondo, when he is motivated, though, Taz, and he has got his head on straight, and he's got a chip on his shoulder, he is still a difference maker in the NBA. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, he is.
Even at this stage of his career.
I know. He's just got that, you know, that's that confidence that you see, like, these older guys. They come in, they've been there, done that. It's just another day at the office for them, man. And they look at these younger guys that are behind them or in front of them, and it motivates them. It motivates them to grind and get back to either where they were or stay on top. They know how to use those younger players for motivation, no matter if it's before in front of them or behind them. And they know that they're in the twilight of their career, so they want to keep on trucking. This guy Rondo here, I love his competitiveness. I just love the way he grinds.
Let me ask you this: do you think the Pelicans can give the Warriors a series?
No, I don't.
With Anthony Davis playing at elite level,
I know he dropped 47 points. The guy's an animal. I know that. I don't know. I just think.
I don't disagree with you, and the reason why I wouldn't disagree with you is I do think defensively. Golden State will be a lot better than what Portland is. And I also think there are more viable options on Golden State than there are the Blazers. If Lillard and McCollum don't go off for Portland, they stagger offensively. They can't find buckets. You look at Golden State with Draymond Green, with Klay Thompson, and then with Kevin Durant. Odds are two of the three in any specific game are going to give you an elite level game.
And that's why they
got a lot of weapons and a lot of options. And that's why, and they're a better defensive team, a team defense than what Portland represents. That's why, even with the brilliance of Anthony Davis, and that's going to be a fun series,
yes.
Even with the brilliance of Davis, I don't think New Orleans could take down Golden State.
Yeah, so we agree.
We agree.
Yeah.
And, but Taz, the fact that we're having that discussion is great for Adam Silver and the NBA.
It is.
The fact that we're talking about options, that it's not just a fait accompli, the fact that you think Indiana is going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, the fact that we're discussing the possibility of New Orleans knocking off Golden State and other playoff options, Washington, Toronto, that is not it's not a case we're sitting here on this Monday morning and saying, right in stone, this is what it's going to transpire. There are questions. We might both like Golden State to beat New Orleans, but if Anthony Davis goes out there and averages 45 points a game for New Orleans, are they going to have a shot to win that series? I'll tell you, they'll have a shot to win that series.
And that's the cool thing is, and you say about the NBA, you know, like not really predictable games. Not, it's been a great NBA final, the playoffs, the whole thing. It's just been great because it's just been you see a lot of 3-1 series, 2-2s, 3-2. I'm sorry, 2-1s, 1-2s. You know, it's great. So you know, it makes it a lot more enjoyable to watch when there's not that, all right, well, yeah, the Cavaliers are going to buzz through everybody. Well, Indiana's not letting that happen. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. They're not, and neither are Washington against Toronto. The other series, they're not up at two games apiece. It's going to be a fun rest of the first round. I think it's going to be intriguing rest of the NBA playoffs. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, before we get to the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to do a little NFL draft for you.
Yes.
Wrapping up this hour, a couple things I want to hit upon. Number one, how about the Flyers yesterday, right?
Oof.
So, think about this. After their Game 4 loss, down 3-1 to Pittsburgh, Claude Giroux said, we'll see you back in Philadelphia for Game 6.
Right.
They go into Pittsburgh and beat the Penguins.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be down 3-2, go back down to Philadelphia yesterday, NHL playoffs we're talking about now, Stanley Cup playoffs for a Game 6, and the Penguins yesterday beat the Flyers 8-5
in the final. Yeah.
And goal after goal after goal, the Flyers' defense broke down as that game went along, but the city of Philadelphia did not react all that kindly to the loss.
No. They were very disappointed in the orange and black. And, the city of Philadelphia, they've been kind of a...
They've been used to winning.
They got their Eagles. They got Villanova basketball.
I understand. You're not the better team. You understand Pittsburgh. I get it. It's a disappointing loss. You can't throw trash on the ice. Imagine if I was there with my boys, and I'm like, pick up that bottle of soda, throw it on the ice. I can't believe the Flyers just lost.
Hey, lady, give me the Earth for that hamburger.
You chuck it right on the... My son Jackson would be like, but Dad, the Eagles won, Villanova won.
I don't care, give me that hot dog.
Right.
Boom, you throw it.
And screw you, Gabe Kapler.
I don't care. Oh, yeah, that's Philly.
I mean,
suck.
You can't react that way.
No, that's Philadelphia, man. They're hard-ass Jones. That's how they get. They get crazy.
I guess I understand they're hard-ass. I understand that they're a tough city. I get they're tough. I agree. But there's different ways to react to a loss. That is a difficult way to react.
Dude, I've talked about that. I've worked in front of those people
for a lot of years.
And let me tell you, they're as hard-nosed as people say. Blue-collar city.
And then the other interesting thing this weekend, just on a side note, how about Brandon Belt?
Oh, yes.
The 21 pitch at bat that he had yesterday afternoon for the San Francisco Giants. The at bat lasted not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. It lasted over 12 minutes. 12 minutes and 45 seconds.
Let's speed up the game.
Well, but you think about a 21 pitch at bat. It wasn't like it was a 60 pitch at bat. 21 pitches took 12 minutes and 45 seconds.
God. 21 pitches. That's a record, right?
New record, major league record. The old record was 20. I think it was Gutierrez, 1998, was the record. 20 pitch at bat. This one was 12 minutes and 45 seconds, 21 pitch at bat. And what was, I forget how many pitchers were thrown in that first. That's an amazing accomplishment. Think about that.
It's unbelievable. Foul ball, strike, swinging, foul, foul, ball, foul, foul, ball, pickoff attempt, foul, pickoff attempt, foul, 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 pickoff attempt, foul, 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 pickoff attempt, foul, foul, belt lined out to right.
That's right. That's good.
21 pitches, kids.
21 pitches, 12 minutes and 45 seconds
for
Brandon Belt. Crazy. So the city of Philadelphia, finally a loser. Belt with a 21 pitch at bat for the San Francisco Giants. And we've got all your playoff action as well. Want your reaction? 855-212 in the NBA. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. We get into the NFL draft. The latest rumors and rumblings as we ramp up to the Taz and the Moose Thursday night special. CBS Sports Radio.
I love football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.